Hey guys, before we get into the episode, you all know I'm a huge fan of fashion, and I have been ever since I was a little girl. And my first job, by the way, was actually at Macy's. And my love for fashion began when I started there because I worked in the fragrance department, but of course, my eye was always on the clothes and the makeup and everything related to style. But here's the thing, my relationship with Macy's didn't end once my days of asking people walking by if they wanted to sample the latest scents came to an end. Nearly 20 years later, I still find myself choosing Macy's time and time again for literally everything. It's become a really beautiful full circle moment that they've been such amazing supporters of our show for so long. And when it comes to shopping, they have everything you need. Whether I need a last minute outfit or Kevin needs a last minute outfit for our friend's wedding, we always head to Macy's. They've got us covered. So if you're in need of some retail therapy, perhaps, or looking to spruce up your home or your lifestyle, check out Macy's, friends. I've curated a list of some of my favorite items that have helped me upgrade so many parts of my life, really my fashion the most, but of course home and baby and so much more. So check the link in the description and happy shopping, Hill Squad.
I'm on a journey to get better in all areas of life, from wellness and mental health to career and relationships and so much more. I know getting better isn't easy, but it's a whole lot easier when you can do it together. Welcome to Better Together with me, Maria Menounos.
Hey, Better Together with Maria Menounos fans! It's not Maria Menounos. It's Mr. Maria Menounos, subbing in for my beautiful and talented wife and bring you part two of our interview with quilt founder Ashley Summer and
Brahim Ahuseini.
Good job.
Thank you.
Kelsey Alexander Meyer.
He helped me with it.
So excited for you guys to listen. These two, they're a great 1-2 punch.
Yeah, they are.
Great 1-2 punch. So anybody who's interested in mental health, business.
Yeah.
I think finding your...
The earth.
Finding meaning in purpose in life and in your work.
Yeah.
I think this is a very valuable interview. So valuable that even Pooja learned something.
That's right.
Pooja's really smart. It's tough for Pooja to learn.
You guys give me a lot of credit.
Yes.
We're always learning.
We're always learning.
All of us.
Truth.
That is truth.
Okay, you guys, please, I hope you enjoy this part two.
Well, I'd love you to talk about that because I was kind of thinking about that as well. It's like growing up in Seattle, it's like if you don't recycle correctly, you are fully shunned. And it's like, honestly, it can be confusing.
Well,
there's
Kelsey,
like
we
seven
learned
different things.
Let's remind everybody.
Yes.
In our house in Connecticut, we recycle.
I was trying to recycle.
Excuse me. No. We recycle.
We recycle when we recycle.
When what?
We recycle.
When we recycle.
I was trying to recycle and then I was.
No,
I
you and Maria.
Cans.
No, it's not just you. Her and Maria. So I get into the pantry.
Yeah.
And okay, I'm down for the cause. I want to recycle. I want to be in with the click. I go into the pantry and overflowing bottles and cans.
Because you have to bring stuff to the dump to recycle. So we hadn't done our dump trip yet.
Got it.
Flies?
Got it.
Smelling?
Not even
true. Like,
not even
true. Oh, no.
Wait, you weren't there. What are you talking about?
This is when Kevin went
back. By the way, it all everything, cleaning up the dog, it all falls on me. And we're out in the middle of nowhere. So
okay.
It's not like you can have a staff or whatever. Like, I do, and fine, happy to do it. But as I said, in this house, we recycle.
When we recycle.
When we recycle.
Okay.
When we just leave garbage out, we are not what?
Not recycling.
We're not recycling.
Okay, but getting back to recycling.
So we just to remind everybody, like we recycle.
When we recycle.
When we recycle.
I feel understood. Like there is a lot of judgment around people who are not, it's like, I don't know. Oh my God, you're not doing anything for the earth. Oh my God, you're using plastic still. Oh my God. And I'm
Or you throw, if you don't throw a bottle away
right,
in the right,
right
container.
Right, right. And I would love
plastic straws.
Yeah, people freak
those
out.
Those are really good for
and
the
like,
environment.
I've had to like teach myself.
No, they help the turtles breathe when it goes
Kevin!
Right, doesn't it? No.
What?
That's what I heard.
No, but I've had to help like curb my judgments when I'm like, oh, that person's carrying around like only plastic bottles, you know? Mm. So I would love you to speak on that and like maybe help us with some, I don't know, little switches or little things we can do that's like an easy everyday, I don't know, switch the bottle or switch this. Like,
yeah, we like the little takeaways because, you know,
gotta
and
hit, how we can be
gotta
less
hit some singles,
in
you know what I mean?
Space, you know?
But again, even that awareness gets clicked, right? When you go, oh, you know what I mean? Like you think in your head, like what this bottle is going to do, you plant that little seed in the back. By the way, littering in our country, you might not have been here. You guys weren't born. When I tell you in the 70s, the country was just a dumpster. Mm. Like literally people would just be driving McDonald's bags out the window. Like oh it was nothing.
It's horrifying.
Cigarette butts, which I still do, but like just bottles and just driving along and like it was nothing. That's what everyone did and you would see it. And then they came up with a big giant campaign in the late 70s, which was a Native American who was actually an Italian, had the teardrop roll down his face. But that was the beginning of campaigning. And now you would never think to go, like to just throw something on the ground. Like 99% of us, I would love to think, don't think to throw something just on the ground, you know?
Right.
So you can really get it through to people, but there's definitely a way to do it. So we'd love to hear any tips that help us if you have any, Brain.
And fun fact, there's going to be more plastic in the ocean than fish in 2050. So if we don't do something.
So we can have, it can be like an aquarium where we can have sculptures and stuff for the fish to swim through.
I can't.
No? All right. Cream? I'm trying to make lemonade here. No, but that's really scary.
Mm-hmm.
That's really scary.
So, you know, this notion that plastic is going to just exist in the oceans. First of all, is completely false because it comes back to us.
There's not going to be more than fish.
We're eating. No. It at this rate for sure it'll be more than fish. But if we don't do something about it, what's already happening is just going to happen more. Which is we're breathing it now. We're breathing microplastics. We're eating microplastics. These things are in placenta, and I mean all over. It's a disaster. So you asked a very important question. What can we do? Mm. You know, what is something simple that we can do? Eat less meat. Mm-hmm. You don't have to become a vegan. You don't have to become a vegetarian. Just eat less meat. You know, skip. Instead of eating meat 3 meals a day, have meat 2 meals a day. If Americans skipped one meat meal a week, our carbon footprint would plummet.
Really?
Just one.
Just one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Darn.
It is not that big a deal to have a salad or a sandwich that does not include meat or dairy one less time a week. That's how much the beef industry is actually producing in greenhouse gas emissions and toxifying our waterways and is completely cruel anyway to these beings. So that conversation has not kept up with the climate change conversation, but there is an ethical component to this as well that we need to consider. But setting that all aside, the easiest way that humanity can contribute is A, eating less beef, B, taking less airplane rides, C, please buy less things. When that ad comes up on Instagram that literally listens to our conversation. So that's why as soon as you say whatever Fiji, the next thing you know, there's that pretty ad with the washboard stomach guy and the perfect bodied bikini model running on the beach. You know, looking at, you know, so like selling you a vacation to Fiji. Don't participate.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, the tap out of this endless consumerism game, it's not going to give you what you want. Go connect with another human being, really connect with another human being. Go plant a rose garden somewhere in your neighborhood. You know, like these things are simple and they seem maybe not as satisfying, but truthfully, for somebody who has been on this journey, and I respect if you need to go on this journey yourself to get to the other side, have at it. But for somebody who's been on this journey, I bought all the things. I've done.
Yeah, I did it. I know.
Like,
yeah.
It is a never ending stream. It is you will never fill that bucket. You will never get there with buying more things. Mm. The only way you'll get there is by allowing yourself to be completely open and vulnerable and accepted by others, so you can shed the illusion that somehow you are not enough in the eyes of others, and thus you have to make sure that your stories look perfect and everybody likes you and whatever it is you're contorting yourself to try to be accepted by the world. And fundamentally, that's the experience that I had in that first journey with Quilt, is I didn't know these people. They didn't know me. They didn't know that I came from this investing background or this wealth background or this story. We were just 8 human beings sitting having this meandering conversation. Nobody was peacocking. Nobody was downloading their resume. Nobody was dropping whatever they were dropping to somehow try to be liked and accepted based on the, you know, cultural agreement that more is better. We were just human beings having a human conversation, and it was a billion times more satisfying than buying whatever the latest Bottega Veneta line of who knows whatness happens to be.
You know, the anti-smoking campaign, you know, since the 50s, they've dumped a lot of money into it. And it was around the 90s, or I think the aughts, the 2000s, when they realized the best way to get younger people to not smoke was to relay to them how much the tobacco companies were manipulating them to smoke. So then the kids had a natural instinct to rebel against, wait, you're manipulating me? Well, screw you. You're not going to manipulate me. And I think with consumerism, one of the ways I think we can reach people is, you know, to know that you're being manipulated, you know, that your phone is listening to what you're saying, targeting you, and just trying to get your money, get a sale, and simultaneously keep that void open, like you said, right? So Band-Aid on that wound, but we'll open another one, and then you got to buy another Band-Aid, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I think the more, like just me hearing that, the more that that gets me mad enough that I'm like, no, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm not going to like, And God, even times.
Hey, Hill Squad and Better Together fam. It's been a tough year, but we hear from so many of you just how much our content is helping you heal and get better. And it makes us feel so good. Our team works so hard to deliver this life-changing content. And a lot of you guys ask, how can I have a bigger role in our Hill Squad community? Or how can I do my part to help Better Together continue to uplift even more people? First of all, thank you for that sentiment. And we're so grateful for this community. If you could help us by giving us a 5-star rating and a comment on Apple Podcasts, that's amazing. Second, you could join the Better Together with Maria Menounos Instagram page. Third, you could share the show with a friend in need. And finally, for as little as $10 a month, please join our Patreon to get monthly live heal events with world-class healers, ad-free episodes of our show, and even weekly bonus episodes exclusive to Patreon. Getting better isn't easy, but it is a whole lot better when we can do it together. We love and appreciate and are so grateful for all of you.
When I order at Amazon and I've gotten to that place, cause I'm really busy. It's easy to just go. I say click, click, click. And I even say that in our company, I mean, click, 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 and get us a new mixer. Click, 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 and just get like, so everyone knew that meant go to Amazon. When all those boxes come in and stuff like that, even if, can they be recycled in the right way? Or is that damaging as well? All the bubble wrap and all the, you know, do we know how to recycle that correctly, or is it?
So,
because I've heard mixed things on the recycling.
Yeah, so recycling has generally been exaggerated in what actually ends up getting recycled versus what goes into a landfill. Fortunately, we're now, as a civilization, we've reached a technological point where we can take plastic, paper, biomass, whether it's cotton or food or garden clippings or whatnot, and keep it in what's called perpetual molecular circularity. So the technology's there. And one of my funds actually is working day and night to make sure we roll it out as fast as possible, because that's the first time we'll be able to mimic nature. Because in nature, there is no waste. The waste of one system is the food of another. So we can finally get there where we have technologies that'll do that. So it's going to take decades for it to replace the existing methods that we deal with our waste, which is dig a hole in the ground and bury it
or put it in the ocean.
Yeah, or light it on fire,
put it on a barge and send it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So all of that is super obviously archaic, polluting, toxifying. We don't talk enough about the toxification angle of our modern civilization. Because, you know, as you know, we sat and talked about everybody having to have a health scare to wake up. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, we're the first generation that is exposed to chemicals that no other human generations for the last, you know, since never, like we've never been this exposed to toxicity. So we're all an experiment because we have corporations that are so powerful that they do not allow our governments to actually protect us from them because we have so much money pouring into politics that in order to actually win a seat in politics, you know, Dow and 3M and Monsanto have to pay your bills. And when it comes to whether or not their chemicals are allowed in our food, in our water, on our products, you know, government's going to not fight for our regulation because that means their seat in government. So this system is literally killing us. You know, this all has to expire from the human story. Like we all have to learn. Thankfully, you said these young people who grew up in the information age, they're exposed to all of this.
Yeah.
So hopefully they're going to be voting better, not for these people who are, you know, dinosaurs from the 21st century, from the 20th century, still operating in old paradigm ways, which are, you know, bending over for corporations and for donations from these corporations and actually acting in the best interests of consumers, raising the darn minimum wage, just even with the standard of living for God's sake.
You guys, I mean, again, it's not politics, but Andrew Yang has a lot of interesting things to say. And, you know, he's a big proponent of universal basic income. And he has said, and I don't have any reason to not believe him. He's like, we have the money for this.
Yes, we do.
Mm-hmm. We just mismanage it. We have the money for it. Mm-hmm. And, we have to give up on the idea of like, okay, there's always going to be a group of people in society that doesn't work and takes advantage of the system. They're not going away. We've had them for, so they're going to, fine. That small percentage is going to, you know, but for the rest of the decent people who, you know, are starving, don't have healthcare, you know, and we have the money. That's what frustrates me. Mm-hmm. We mismanage the money, mm-hmm. but the system, no matter how awakened the next voting generation is, we got to vote on the system, the lobbyists, right? All that stuff. These having a seat in the Senate for all these years, or the, you know what I mean? Or the House, like.
I mean, just stopping the flow of money into politics will solve a big piece of this. Because people, you know, then people will not be beholden to corporations and to the donor class that fund their campaign who own corporations. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with capitalism. It's unfettered capitalism that's the problem.
I like
it's
that.
Money
unfettered
and
capitalism.
It's money and politics that's the problem. And, you know, and we do. And listen, there is a legitimate thing that we don't talk about, which is sociopathy. 3% of the world's population, 75% of which are men, are sociopaths. That means that they only act in their best interest.
What was that?
And that's growing, though. That number's growing.
Let's assume that it's steady, okay? I have no idea that it's growing or not. I'm not a mental...
It's growing.
Fine,
yeah, no, it's
I'll
growing.
I'll take your word for it.
Well, the narcissists, the level of narcissism, and they are growing. We're growing them.
Listen, yeah. I understand. Like, but I agree with you on narcissism because platforms like Instagram... Mm-hmm. Only get claps and clicks, and I don't know why I'm pointing to you. You just mentioned that.
No, but Kelsey, do the peace. Show the peace sign, Kelsey. The soft smile. Yeah. There you go.
Clapping Instagram.
But, yeah, but that's what society is rewarding now. It's rewarding place. You know, presenting a fake version of ourselves that's perpetually happy, perpetually risk, perpetually having fun, perpetually not working, perpetually
buying something new and shiny and this and yeah.
And that's not, first of all, that's not true.
Go back to the sociopathy.
So sociopathy. So when you have 3% of the population that is literally unable to feel empathy, the actions that they take are going to be in their best interest only. That means they don't care. I'm not judging them. They literally cannot care about you.
Yeah, right. There's been a disconnect somewhere along their path. Yes. Right.
Before we started this interview today, you mentioned how much you take care of animals. You know, you have an ocean of empathy that allows your whole household to be full of animals that you brought in and took care of. You know, that is part of human connection. That's why you make choices from a place that takes into account more than just you. But really smart sociopaths fill our government and our C-suite of corporations, God. And they do not care about you and I, not because they are evil, because they literally
don't care. It's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I don't know, they're coming off the assembly line faster and faster. And it's unfortunately growing into the women too. Mm. I see it. I've seen a lot of it in Hollywood because think about what finance attracts that, Hollywood attracts, more
it's
of
survival.
It, you know,
it's survivalism. I mean, it's so many more things. And there's obviously different variety and ranges of people that are struggling with, these types of mental illness, but when you're breeding an environment of survival for so long, you don't think about anyone but yourself because everything is just like, I have to survive. Me and just these people have to survive. It's a very, toxic and competitive environment, that this idea that we don't believe that all of us can succeed together, rise together.
Mm. We also have to redefine what success is.
Yeah. That's my wife's big thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, the success has to be different than what the media and the 20th century version of it is portrayed to people, because we have such precious limited time on this planet, and we can't all spend
it's just a blink.
Trying to do lifestyles of the rich and famous and whatever.
And
Kardashians and whatever else.
Guys, and no matter how much we see, super wealthy people kill themselves or how unhappy they are on TV, the reality shows. If for whatever reason, it doesn't resonate. We still think, yeah, but that won't be me. When I have my money, it'll be. And
I know.
Yeah, it's you've got to redefine what success is. Like and I think of the comedians even we've lost this year. I can't tell you how many comic friends and filmmakers, that I work with, that I just like. You think it matters now to Gilbert Gottfried or to Bob Saget? What does it matter now? It's over.
When you're on the go 24/7 like me, guys, finding ways to make life easier is so important for my health and sanity. And that's exactly what my friends at Macy's do for me. From working there as a teenager to now going to them for so many of my daily essentials, it's been my go-to for so many years. And having everything in one place is such a time saver for me. With being a first-time mom for a while now, as you know, I've had plenty of those, and being able to rely on them for all the things has been amazing. Plus, having everything in one place has made being a new mom just a little bit easier for me. So I know we're all focusing on our families, our health, hopefully, our jobs and everything in between, but it's time to make your life a little easier. And to help you out, I've curated all of my essentials from Macy's for you and the whole fam. All the details are in the show notes below, or you can just click the link in the description to get your hands on them too. I have some new picks on there. This little bomber jacket, this little black dress. You're going to love it.
Yeah.
So, what value are you adding, and what fills your cup and makes, but all that other, those pursuits?
Maybe the answer is maybe a 21st century paradigm that we can start injecting into the zeitgeist is, instead of chasing money, chase meaning.
Oh, I love that. Instead of chasing money, chase meaning. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got to keep Raheem on the team, Adam. Let's get this guy on that squad.
We're going to make t-shirts.
I just thought he was a checkbook. I love that. He's dropping gems too. He's a checkbook too.
For the right things. If your venture has the right meaning and contributes to a future we all want and we all get to win in, I'm a checkbook for that.
Okay, so Kelsey has some ideas. Kelsey's restaurant.
Ideas.
Drop an egg on it.
Put an egg on it.
Okay. And we're going to, and what else? We're going to teach screenwriting to
prisoners.
Prisoners. Mm. What was the other one?
We have a pizza place called Kevin Kelsey's Pizza featuring Pooja.
Stop talking about
featuring
food. I'm so
so we have the pizza Pooja. Place to invest in. What else?
Well, I'm modeling for Andrew's company.
You're going to model for Five Star Jeans. Uh-huh. There's a lot. We got a lot. Anyway, we'll talk offline.
Yeah. Backpacking.
We'll talk. And it's all very meaningful.
What did I get myself into here?
It's super meaningful.
I just saw a spinoff show of like a healthier version of Shark Tank.
Yeah. Oh, it's me, Kelsey.
Years ago, you know, I took a show called... It was called Dolphin Bowl.
I'm into that.
And it was the opposite. Yep. It wasn't trying to... Yeah, and it was about people like you guys. It was, and I had a good group of people who were like, no, I've made all my money in the world. I want to figure out a way to get back
to... Wait, did you end up doing anything with that?
No.
Because I thought I heard about a Dolphin Bowl.
It was just like, oh, you... No, get out of here. No, because it was... Well, because it was... Again, I will say this about myself. I had the first TV after show before there was a Talking Dead. Mm-hmm. When everyone's like, what's an after show? What is this? Mm-hmm. And it's an after show network of 200 shows a week. I don't even know what you mean. Get out of my office. Right. So I just went and did it myself. But even then, the world wasn't ready. It was mm-hmm. probably 12 years ago that mm-hmm. I took it out. It was right around, I saw Shark Tank and I watched it and I was educated, but also horrified.
Horrified.
Because I just see like these people with such big heart, like people come in with their product. I've worked my whole life and it means so much to me. And you have these ghouls salivating.
Yeah.
Mm. Some more than others.
Sociopaths.
You're right. Well, and now, but you know, what's funny about a good sociopath is they can adapt. So I'm finding
they all
like
adapt.
The
they're so good,
right? The sociopaths who now are quote woke, and they're on the other side of it and playing all the right, you saying all the right things,
they're doing the same things,
and it's like, oh my god! But you know what I say? Like, if we're stuck with them, then better at least they behave and give back, and you know, if it's whatever it is, it's like, but. I digress, but yeah, no, I think there's a lot of people out there that like Ibrahim who want to invest in good things. And I feel like, but going back to, meaning over money, I really love that. And I always remind people I've been with people, many people on their deathbeds. And I always say it's been both a curse, but also a blessing. But the one thing when the last moments of their lives, the one thing that all of them had in common was they would reflect back on the people they helped, the difference they made, the lives they changed. It's never like, you know, and I made this much and I made that much. And by the way, I'm talking about some of them that were actually super wealthy, but it was just like, you know, remember that time this guy was really down in his luck and the family came to me, the son got into gambling and it was a $50,000. And I said, okay, we're going to meet, we're going to figure it out. And you know, he's so excited to tell me that story. You know, my dad, like, it's like, hey, you know, as a fireman, I know I saved at least 17 different lives over my 30-year career, but it's always that. Mm-hmm. And so that's, at the end of the day, that's what it's going to be. That's what I've seen it be about. Mm-hmm. And we have to remember that, you know, and I love that meaning over money. Like, what meaning? You know, what meaning am I contributing?
Yeah.
And in so many different ways, by the way, like, I will tell you, at the coffee shop I go to, no matter how I'm feeling, they always make me feel good. The barista's there. No, and I say that they're serving too.
Oh, yeah.
And for the people like us, like if you, and again, I always say, if you have the means, like don't be afraid to always tip them. Mm-hmm. But we all serve in, we can all serve in different ways. You don't have to build quilt and you don't have to clean up the ocean. There's ways we can all be of service. Mm-hmm. You know, and some of the people that don't have the means, and I so admire, you know, that don't have, but they're finding a way, whether it's through volunteerism or
kindness,
saving animals, or by the way, just raising their kids in a great evolved way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like I said, Ash, being kind.
Being kind.
Yep.
You know, I always say too, it's like, it's kind, I know kind and nice gets a bad rap because sometimes, you know, being nice, it's like, no, you're being a pushover. I just say like, just be decent. How about that, Dr. Phil? Cash me outside. Just be decent. Just be decent.
Just don't be a dick.
Just don't be a dick. I have a poster in my room.
I'm sorry. Am I going to get in trouble because it's Better Together? But
probably.
I will tell you how many times. I love that you said that, Ashley. I love that you said that because you know something. Yeah. I can't tell you how many times that, you know, I have a friend who's my brother, but his dad is, you know, he's insufferable. Mm-hmm. And again, probably lots of traumas in his own life. And I know my wife has family members, same thing, just insufferable. Mm. And And I've seen them bang their heads against the wall saying, how could they say this? How could they do that? I can't. And I don't like that their parents were so nice. They grew up with money. They have all these grandchildren who love them. I said, listen, breathe. Sometimes at the end of the day, he's just a dick. That's it. Just leave it at that. Yeah. Just a dick.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And for a girl, I guess it'd be just a DB, you know, just a D bag. But the bottom line is I can't say about the women because I'm not a woman. I say about the guys. At the end of the day, sometimes.
Just a dick.
Yeah. Not evil. Not a bad, you know, just a dick.
Yeah.
Just really, you know, at the end of the day, just a dick. And you know what? If I have to work for that person, I always advise make it temporary. Dig your escape tunnel, you know what I mean? But at the end of the day, like choose to try to get away from them. Or if you have to be around them, you can just know, oh, I get it now. He's just a dick.
Yeah.
Just a dick.
Don't take it personally.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
It's not personal.
It's not personal.
No.
What a beautiful way to
Ray's going to kill
me. I'm over here like, she won't kill you. I do have a poster in my room that says, don't be a dick, Buddha.
Did Buddha say that?
Yeah, I think so.
He probably did in his own way.
In my roommate, he does.
See, then we are awakened.
See? That reminds me of that Abraham Lincoln meme that says, not everything you read on the internet is true.
Oh my God, funny.
He probably did say that.
He probably did.
Oh my goodness, you guys, we could talk forever.
I know.
I hope this was helpful.
Hope you had a few laughs.
Hey, listen, no, but I will say to everybody, we all have those moments. We're just down and out. We're down in the dumps.
Yeah.
And we didn't even get into how food plays into this. Mm-hmm. I know it's really done a number of my emotions, to be honest. I just recently realized and did a lot of cleaning up my diet and it's helping tremendously, but, it's really nice to know you can download the app Quilt and you can go there and be with like-minded people, in those different areas.
The kind corner of the internet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a safe space too. It's so great. It's so great.
Thank you,
Kelsey. It really is.
Thank you.
And yeah. I love there's no judge. It's like there's no video. You just go and it's safe and it's.
You can be in the bath.
It doesn't matter.
You can just quilt from anywhere. And I think. Plane.
Right. And everyone has this understanding that it's like, no, we're all just here to support one another. It's really cool. It's really special.
Yeah. And I think we have to keep finding ways in which to heal on a dime or less. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people don't have that 250 or 300 a week for, you know, for therapy. And,
That's a lot.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I want to say this before we go to, you know, with what I find interesting about your therapy too, Ashley, I think what was also good about it was that it ended up helping you with success in business too, to a degree, right? Wouldn't you say?
I mean, I think in so many ways, probably my most profound way, if we got, you know, somebody on my team, like a Zoe or a Piera or a Holly from my team, I'm a compassionate leader. Even working remotely, like I work from a place of emotional intelligence first. Like we have a goal, we have metrics, we have numbers.
I think you have to though. I'm glad you
care.
Do naturally, but you have to. I always try to tell business people today, I think you have to. I don't think, you know, the new generation is just not wired any other way. And that's just how it is. I think it's a good thing.
To
do business that way anyway. But I think if you want to be successful in the long run, you have to. I think it's a short-term gain today to not manage that way.
I mean, no one I know today is looking for work-life balance. People are looking for work-life integration.
Ooh.
And wait, you guys just keep dropping these things. Slow down.
I didn't make that up.
I have a little kid in the booth here. Fuji, work-life integration. Have you heard that one? Your generation?
No, but I like it.
All right, let's get the TikTok going. All right, work-life integration. Can you speak to this before we go?
All right, friends, let's talk about something we all do. Snack. Trust me, I've definitely overindulged in the past, but as you know, I am focused on my health these days, and I think I found the healthier snack that you don't have to lose out on the flavor, and it's definitely become my go-to. It first came into the house because of Kevin. He was obsessed with Wonderful Pistachios, and then I got addicted, and now it's in my travel bag. I don't leave home without it. It's in our glove compartments because they don't melt. Right now, my favorite flavor is the sweet chili flavor. It feels like some of the naughtier kind of snacks I used to use where I used to lick my fingers after. Now I lick them and I feel safer. Plus, Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. That's crazy, guys. So if you're looking for the perfect snack, trust me and head over to www.wonderfulpistachios.com to snag a bag of Wonderful Pistachios. You're going to love them. I remember my mom always struggling with her hair. It's frizzy, Maria, my mom would say in her Greek accent. Τι έχεις? What do you have? I tried so hard to find her products. I wish I could share these products I'm using now with her because I know she would be so happy to finally have good hair days. I've always believed that hair is a woman's best accessory. And with Way's new anti-frizz cream, you can ensure that your hair always looks its best without the frizz stealing the spotlight. It's a lightweight cream that not only provides immediate frizz control, but also helps prevent heat damage. And get this, it lasts up to 72 hours. That's 3 whole days of frizz-free, gorgeous hair. Way seriously has some of my favorite products for taming the frizz. Pro tip, one of my biggest discoveries is using the Way hair oil on the ends of my hair before I dry it. Let me tell you, it's a game changer. Once it's dry, my hair looks so smooth and polished, I don't even need to do anything else. It is incredible. I love it. Frizz-free, up your schedule with Way. Go to the Way, theouai.com, and enter the promo code HEALSQUAD for 15% off any product. That's the Way, theouai.com, promo code HEALSQUAD. Trust me, you won't regret it.
Oh. I mean, if we get to do something from a place of meaning, if the work that we're doing feels purposeful and fun, right? Like your wife is going after now.
Yeah.
We can integrate, right? Like we can have relationships with the people we're working for. They can be our friends. Like it's not about this is who I am from 9 to 5. And then this is, and I do that just to be this person on this side. Like we are integrated.
I'm so
beings.
Glad you're saying
well,
this.
Well, if you think about how funny it is, even the language, there's work and there's life. It's right. Like, it's almost like you go to work and then now you're done with that piece. Now you have
you
to,
go
you
live.
Can begin life.
Yeah, that's
so
sad.
Of course it makes sense. Work-life integration. We only have so much time on this planet. We can't have whatever it is, 8 hours a day of every day plus commuting time be
that's
not
living.
Life.
Yeah. Mm. Yep. Yeah. It's such a good point. Just
work-life
breaking it down.
Integration.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's important because the whole work-life balance thing is, I think it has not helped people to be thinking of that. We've Maria, when she's mentoring younger women in the business, she's like, okay, stop with the work-life balance. Like stop, you just put more pressure on yourself. Like have to have work-life balance yeah. when like, you know, your work, if it's meaningful mm-hmm. is part of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, I think it was Freud who said, there's work and there's love. What else is there? You know, that was his thing, you know. Mm. But again, if you're doing the meaningful
yeah.
stuff.
Well, and like,
you know,
I have had many side hustles, you know, like I've had a lot of random jobs. so many.
But that
we don't
got
have
you,
enough
yeah, but
time
that got you
to
here,
go over
but
them.
But that got you here.
yeah.
And the thing is, I feel like in our culture, we want to, like, let's say that was your boot camp.
Mm-hmm.
And that's even with your mom,
mm-hmm.
to a degree, was your pre-boot camp.
Mm-hmm.
But we unfortunately want to erase that. And the parents of this generation have done that.
Yeah.
They want to erase that and just, okay, I'm 21 and I'm going to do Theranos. Or I'm going to, you know, like we're seeing all these shows. But we're seeing all of these shows with this one resonating theme
yes.
of, no, I don't need to go in a garage for 20 years like Steve Jobs.
Yeah,
I can do it in
now.
6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got, so I always say to people like you, the side hustles, it's okay. When you're young, like, yeah, you got to eat some, kiss some frogs to get to your prince or
yeah.
eat some frogs or
yeah.
Ben Franklin's
yeah.
quote, but you've got to do that stuff to get there. And I always like say to people, like, if I knew an easy way, like, don't you think I would tell you, but also like, if you know an easy way,
yeah.
tell me so
yeah.
I can help other people.
Yeah.
I don't know an easy way.
Yeah.
It's always challenging. You're always going to be obstacles and you
yeah.
are going to have to.
Yeah.
Dedicate yourself and do the side hustles
yeah.
and do the, you know, those kind of jobs to get ultimately where you want to be.
I mean, I say that because like I'm sitting in a place where the luxury of having work-life integration, but because I'm, you know, I am not an overnight success. I've been working my butt off for, you know, 13 years and all of those side hustles and all of those random jobs and all of those horrible bosses and all of those really fun nights and overworking and all of those things like led me to this place of being able to be
right.
here now. So I say it because if anybody here is listening, there's also no shame in having a plan to get there.
No, that, well, I think that's the idea is like, okay, so you put on a whiteboard, work-life integration.
Yeah.
And where do I end? If it's quilt or I want to have my own, okay, great. So that's the long-term goal. And then, okay, now what are we doing in the short term?
To get there.
To get there. And it might be the side hustles and it might be.
Yeah. There's so many things. There's so many avenues that you can
take. But again, it's that pause.
Yeah.
And then
slow
that
down
awareness.
To speed up.
Right? And you slow down and you can take that 100-foot view and you can look at the... You can get with that whiteboard and you can get with like-minded friends to help you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I add one?
Yeah, please. No.
Clarifying comment to the meaning piece is, you know, how does one have meaning in the work that they do when you're exploring your career? Just ask yourself, is this job going to feel like a contribution? You know, and if the answer is yes, then you are not just exchanging your precious time for money. You're actually making a difference. And that'll feel fulfilling. And you'll feel not disconnected from the whole. You'll feel like you're part of the whole because you're actually contributing to the whole, not being a burden on the whole.
Right.
Because you're not just taking from it to take care of you at the expense of your life and the expense of society. You really are making a contribution, and what a fulfilling way to live.
It's amazing. Mm. And by the way, now that might be, again, the long-term goal, because I understand if you're in a job that you don't feel you're contributing, but you are making money to keep a roof over your head. I get that. As long as you can dig that escape tunnel, the long-term plan, I hope for you. But even if you, let's just say you're working as a, listen, I'm empathetic to, listen, I have people who just took, someone, a celebrity, just took a giant deal they shouldn't have. Mm. But how do you walk away from, no, it was many, many millions, okay? So you don't have to bring out the violin.
Yeah, they're fine.
Okay, they're fine, but, you know, when most of us grew up poor or, you know, family members have struggled, and I know a lot of Jewish friends, I think the Holocaust really has done a number on them, just fear of, like, I'll never be safe, I'll never have enough. And so when you have all these dollar signs roll in front of you, you almost, like, have to say yes, you feel like that. Mm. And then there's consequences. So I'll say that if you're in situations like that, one, you can be contributing outside of that. You can take your means and say, oh, you know what? I have enough room to foster an animal or whatever it is it's going to be. Or I challenge you to say, how can you contribute at that job?
Yeah.
Right? Like there could be coworkers there that might need mentoring, coaching, but it could be the customers who come in. Like I said, you know, you can turn someone's day around so fast. And you can find ways, okay, how can I contribute? And then I think you'll, for you, not for the rest of the world. Yes, that's great. But I think then your cup gets filled and you feel better.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And there's a meta version of that where when you're looking at two job prospects and one of them is, even if it's, one of them is a barista in a local coffee shop and you know that you can make people's day just by making them a delicious cup of coffee and looking them in the eye and smiling at them. And the other one is making more money working at a payday loan business that is keeping poor people in perpetual poverty.
Oh my God.
Say no. Walk away.
Like, and again,
go get paid less for making
people's
day.
But let's motivate them to do that. And here's how that... The dark energy in those places will suck your soul. Over time, no matter what. And when you find yourself smoking or just, you know, like doing drugs or drinking a lot, it's those kind of jobs.
Yeah.
In the short, you know, that, and there's even worse things that come out of it. But yeah, know that it, yeah, those, that dark energy around those places, man, it's real.
If we don't do good, if we don't feel good, we don't do good. It's so simple and it's so cliched, but it's so true. Like if we don't, you know, if we don't feel good in our environments with the people that we're working with, like if we are in any form of toxicity, it is really hard to like pull yourself out like and create a new reality to be in and start doing good. But like all of these people that can make a little bit of a shift for themselves then have an impact on someone else. So.
Wow. Lots of gems, guys. I learned a lot today and I really appreciate it. I'm so grateful to you guys. I'm grateful we have you guys on the planet. We're going to clean up the ocean. We're going to open Kelsey's pizza place featuring Pooja.
Egg and, place first.
Oh, drop an egg on it. Yep.
Okay.
But no. But guys, quilt.
Quilt.
Download this app. And yeah, I mean, I know we're going to stay in touch. Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited. What's ahead for you guys?
Thank you.
It's really nice. Really nice to see.
So nice to be in this space and not doing this on Zoom.
I know.
Yay. Let's celebrate that.
Do you know what's
so exciting?
Again, like I always get these things that download in my brain. And normally I share it off here, but whatever. I'm sure you already have this, but I would love to see Quilt Business.
Mm.
And I think you two together.
Mm.
Because one of the hang-ups I see for good people who don't succeed in business is because they don't think, first, they don't have the confidence or their shame issues. But then sometimes they have this belief that you can't be a good person and make money.
Mm.
You can't be, you know, socially aware and make money. And I think people like you could teach them how they can be conscious capitalists or unfettered capitalists, how they can get over
those. No, we don't want to teach them how to be unfettered capitalists.
Right. We want to make them, right?
We want to
be.
We want them to be conscious capitalists.
Conscious capitalists and away from being.
Unfettered capitalists.
That's what I meant. Yeah.
As a first-time mom with a baby, I'm always on the go, whether it's running errands, getting my coffee, going to doctor's appointments, or just spending quality time with little Athena. And that's why I rely on Wonderful Pistachios to keep me fueled and ready for anything, no matter where I am. Kevin even keeps a bag stashed in the nursery. You know, for the nighttime hunger moments. Wonderful Pistachios comes in a variety of flavors and sizes, making them the perfect snack to have literally any time, whether I'm enjoying them during a quick break in between taping this show or I'm on the go and it's in the diaper bag. I do carry it in my travel bag and they're in my car. At this point, when I'm leaving the house, I think keys, wallet, Wonderful Pistachios. Bonus, Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts with 6 grams of protein in every 1 ounce serving. So on top of all that, they keep me feeling satisfied. I'm energized while I'm juggling all this crazy stuff in life. Next time you're looking for a convenient and guilt-free snack, head over to www.wonderfulpistachios.com and stock up on your favorite flavors today. Mine is the sweet chili.
and I think because right now they're going there and for the mental health aspect, but I think that there's a vertical there for a lot of them, because I think what they're going to find is, hey, I love this community, but my job at the day loan company, I don't have this.
Yeah. Mm.
So, and where entrepreneurialism is now at a peak, like you said, no one wants to put up with this anymore. Yeah. Everyone wants to do their own business from home, whatever. Yeah. I feel like Quilt Business, I think we have to show people how to be.
What it looks like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Help them the confidence, get over the shame.
I think that's
give them
beautiful.
Great ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Teach them that to how to attach meaning to it, right? Like to purpose.
I love this.
All of it. How, and, you know, a lot of people too, it's like what I'll start out when I talk to them, I'll say, for people who feel lost, I say, okay, what fills your cup? What makes you happy? What brings you joy? That's the thing. Like, no work. No, stop. I didn't say work. What? Just tell me. Is it, you know, is it going to the lake? Is it coloring? Is it, okay, fine. If it's video games, fine. Just tell me the truth. And then phase two is, okay, so what's the vocation that we can put around this?
Right.
There's always something. I even tell, like, a lot of athletes that are college athletes, let's say, and they love it, but they're not going to make the pros. I'm like, hello, there's sports is such an industry. There's PR, there's marketing, sports, there's broadcast sports, there's management for talent. And when I tell you, if just to bring it back to sports, any of the professional teams I've been around and the behind the scenes people, when I tell you the joy, everyone's all in and so excited about the team, whether they're winning or losing. And, you know, but I always say there's a way to apply the things you love to a vocation.
Yeah.
Which might not be easy, but Quilt Business can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then give them those tools they need to kind of maybe survive the side hustle to get there.
Yeah.
Or all the failures.
Yeah.
Right? I always say, like, the 999 iPhone prototypes that we don't hear about to get to the one that works.
Yeah.
Right. So all the fails you've had, and I'm sure you and your family have had, right, Brahim? Like, I know I've had too many of them, but, you know, I like that. Quilt Business.
I like
so
it.
Kelsey, Now you're going to have to run quilt business on top of everything else.
Done.
You would love that, right?
Oh, I love that. That would be fun.
Yeah. I'm in. I'll help you with that.
Okay, let's do it.
Yeah, you got me. You got me. I'm in.
I mean,
I love it.
You were thinking about dolphin bowl, and that's basically what a quilt is. So
yeah,
we should just do this.
Well, by the way, it would be just, think about it. It'd be just as educational.
Yeah.
If you did, like, if the Shark Tank was, you were just rooting for those people, it would be just as educational, just as fun, just as formative. And by the way, like,
so good.
Listen, if it's a business idea isn't going to work, the dolphins still need to say like, no, it doesn't work. I'm only going to perpetuate your madness by investing in this. So it's not like it would be, right. It's just not that, how do we really take advantage of this person?
Yeah.
You know, I had another CEO friend that I really loved. His whole thing, adage, which I now have adapted. He's always like, in deal making, he's like, win together or part friends. Mm. And I love that. Mm. You know, like again, 20th century is like, if I don't kill the other side in a deal, I didn't win the deal.
Right.
And there's so many old guard people now that I'm like, I will even say to like our reps, like, I'm not negotiating with them. I'm not. This is what I need. I'm not playing the game of I'm asking for 10 to settle at 5. This is what I need.
Yeah.
If you give me great, if not, no, I'm out. I'm not doing it, mm-hmm. you know, because I know the thing is like, they have to kill you or they don't win. Mm-hmm. But what I'm finding is the younger generations now that are coming into executive roles, so much different.
Yep.
What can we do to make, you know, like, no, we want to make this work. We want to be able to give back to you. And it's like, wait, what? Where have you been? Because I want to do is serve you and your side and provide and bring value. But I'm seeing that with the younger generation, you know, which is nice.
Gosh, at Quilt, we have wellness days. We have preventative care wellness days so people don't get so sick and burnt out.
Yeah, you need that.
So.
Yeah, you do.
Everything you're saying, I'm like, yes.
You need all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, this, I'm always trying to find ways here. These guys work real super hard. So I'm always, whatever we can always do to like, oh, let's just make it a little easier.
Mm-hmm. Or fun.
But you need, or fun. Fun is the main thing. And fun. Always be fun.
Always
and
fun.
And
always and laughing. Fun. Always yes. scamming.
Yeah, I can tell you all have no fun.
No fun.
There's Kevin no fun being had here.
I don't know how to not have fun.
Sam. That's such a good quality.
You know, but I also think when you work, I was in the carny business for years through college and after college to finance my way out here, mm-hmm. you know, non-union construction for years. Mm-hmm. And so my dad was a ditch digger, grandfather ditch digger, great grandfather ditch digger. I mean, like, so I know what real work is. Mm-hmm. No offense. This is ours. But to me, it's never felt like work.
Yeah.
It's such a privilege to sit with you guys. You know, I always say proximity in business is everything. Tony Robbins, but to me, proximity and anticipation in business, but proximity. Mm-hmm. I always say to people, when you can get around, like I would say to Kelsey and Pooja, like, guys, I know like it's hard and you work hard, but like the exposure you're mm-hmm. getting to these people, the connections you're making, the information they're sharing with you, you'll see when mm-hmm. you're 30, 40, 50, you're going to go, wow, you know, like what a blessing. Because I know that's how I feel.
Totally.
So thank you guys for coming today. Mm-hmm. I'm really glad, really glad I got to do the show.
Me too.
Lots of gems. Lots of gems. Okay. What does Maria say to end this show?
She says, be nice people, make good choices, and be present.